Amen. Let us get our Bibles in our hands. We're going to go right into the preaching moment. Amen. With your Bibles in your hands, would you repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Simple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now go ahead and praise the Lord. Make some noise. Amen. And now what we can do, since this is quote unquote Super Sunday, you can go ahead and act like you at the game and make some noise while I'm preaching and we can have some fun. Amen. Quiet church is all right, but I don't really do quiet church that much, so we can get down this morning. All right. So last week we talked about questioning God. We're going to continue that, turn this into a series. So today we're going to talk about this. Go ahead and flash it up for us. Questioning self. Amen. After you get done questioning God, you need to go ahead and look yourself in the mirror. And so we're talking about questioning ourself. And when we talk about this, we're not talking about it in the form of a negative way. Some of you guys are a little too hard on yourself. And one of the things that God has told me to do when you guys reach out to me, text me, is just to remind y'all that you're human. Because sometimes when you're trying to live for God and you don't get everything right and life comes at you, you feel like you're the worst Christian in the world. And some of y'all are better off than what you think you are. So I'm not talking about beating yourself up over the head. Somebody just say that when we say, I'm human. And I'm getting it right. All right, so chill out, relax a little bit. Back in the day, if we made one mistake, we thought we wasn't saved. I'd have got saved so many times, I forgot. But I found out God is not that petty. He's not as petty as we are. So when I talk about questioning ourselves, we're not talking about questioning your salvation. Your salvation is sure in God unless you don't want it to be. Nothing can pluck you out of God's hand but you. If you want to walk away, you can walk away, but God is not looking, because most people think, and this people tell me all the time, and I've said it before, they said, I would come to church, but the moment I get on the grounds, a lightning bolt would come. If that was true, all of us be smoked a long time ago, because God's not like that. And so we're not talking about questioning your salvation, but we are talking about shoring yourself up. Here's the thing. If you go downtown, it'll tell you, I'm married. If you look at my mortgage, it'll tell you I'm married. If you look at my taxes, it'll tell you I'm married. My marriage is secure, but that doesn't mean it can't get better. I'm a husband, and I've been a husband for 24 years. It's getting ready to be 25 years next month. But that doesn't mean I can't get better. So you're saved. You're sanctified. You're filled with the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't mean you can't grow anymore. So I'm not talking about, when I preach to you, I'm not talking to you to make you get saved if you're already saved. I'm talking to you to grow in God and to become better. We're trying to become better. Now, if you're not saved, we want you to get saved. But once you get saved, we want you to grow up in God. Because the Bible says you shall know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So we want you to be producing fruit. In order to produce fruit, sometimes you got to question yourself. All right. We're going to go to a definition of question. The same definition we used last week. We're going to use again. A doubt about the truth or validity of something. So we're not really talking about that because we're not doubting your salvation, but going to the next one, the raising of a doubt about or objection to something. In other words, I am questioning certain things about myself. I'm saved, but I do got some junk in my trunk. I do got some issues in my life. I do have some things where I can get better. One of the worst things you can do is doubt your salvation. But another worst thing that you can do is act like you so saved you don't need any help. You got some Christians that beat themselves up. Then you got other Christians that brag. Neither one of them are good. I'm saved, sure enough. I'm going to make it to heaven, but that don't mean I'm the best that I could be. I'm a good pastor, but I can be a better pastor. You're a good member, but you can be a better member. Especially in the newer part of the year, it's good to reevaluate your life to figure out, am I heading in the right direction? As I drive a lot, I start looking for markers, because once you get lost, you need to be able to look and see, am I on the right path? Oh, okay, I remember that McDonald's. I remember that. So I start looking for stuff so that I know if I do get lost. The problem with some of us, we get lost and we keep going in the same direction. We make no adjustments. We make no changes. After your 17th boyfriend, if all of them had beat you, you got to do something different. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And so we question ourselves, or we raise objections and we raise doubts just to make sure everything's okay. So let's put this up, and this is how we're going to roll from five questions to ask yourself to keep yourself in check. It's not my job to keep you in check. That's your job. It ain't your mama's job to keep you in check. That's your job. Some of the stuff you expecting other people to do, you can do for yourself. Sometimes it's really easy. All you got to do is check yourself. All right. And so let's give us a definition of check. This will help us. Examine something in order to determine its accuracy, quality, or condition. I'm saved. I'm a Christian, but am I a quality Christian? What is the condition of my Christianity? Well, I do need to determine some things. I need to check some stuff out. Have you ever grabbed something out of the refrigerator and or out of the pantry and put it in your mouth, and the first thing you do next, you don't swallow, you check the date? Some don't taste right. It don't function. When I put a chip in my mouth, it ain't supposed to turn into powder that quick. Chip ain't supposed to taste like paper. Something wrong. So let me check the date. Let me check the seal. My dad used to love milk, but he didn't mind letting milk stay. And you can mess around and grab some of his milk and it wouldn't taste right. He'd be like, what's wrong with it? Daddy, it's a month old. You can't be drinking this stuff. You gotta check some stuff. But it's better to check it before you taste it. It's better to check yourself for failure before you have to taste the failure. It's better to check your attitude for somebody have to break you down. So many of the things we can avoid if we would just look ourselves in the mirror. And I say this all the time, just like Bishop Michael Jackson used to say, I'm looking at the man in the mirror and I'm asking him to change his ways. All right. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make this world a better place, you gotta. Don't act like y'all don't know the song. Don't leave me out here by myself. Make a change. All right. Next part of the definition. Check to detect the presence of something. In other words, so when people go to the doctor and they check your blood, they're trying to check and detect the presence of something. Is there something in there? I'm saved, but I'm checking. There might be some stuff in there that don't need to be in there. In other words, I'm holy, but there might be some unholiness in my holiness. I'm righteous, but there might be some wickedness in my righteousness. So I need a check up. And let me just go ahead and throw this out there. It's not part of my message, but stop being so holy that you can't go to the doctor and get a check up. Well, I'm believing the Lord, but God put doctors in the earth for a reason. Get a checkup, especially if it's covered by insurance. Stop wasting time. Well, pray for my back. It's been hurting for 6 months. No, go to the doctor. Get checked out. I'm still going to pray, but check out. Here's the reason why some people don't want to get checked, because they're afraid of what they're going to find. And same thing, the reason why we don't want to check ourselves, because we're afraid of what we're going to find. The reason why some men and husbands don't want to go to therapy because they're afraid that the therapist might tell them that the relationship failing is their fault. So I'd rather ignore it, but that doesn't do anybody any good. Yeah. All right, one more. Let's look this. Check. Verify the accuracy of something by comparing it with something else. I got a news article, so I verify it by checking it with other news articles to make sure it is correct, it's viable. So that's what we're talking about in our life. We're just talking about checking ourselves. Let's go ahead and put a scripture up. I'm going to read this scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says this, this is the Message Bible, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. You're in the faith, but are you solid? Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail to test, I'll quit God and run away and cry about it. No, just do something about it. So check yourself. See if you're in the faith, because no matter how saved you are, we all have ups and downs, even in God. So check, evaluate, and make adjustments. Let me say that again. This will help you understand the whole message. Check, evaluate, make adjustments. All right, now we're going to go to Luke 17, and for the rest of the time, we're going to stay in Luke 17 like we did Psalms 10 last week, and we're going to lay out 5 questions. So here's the first question. This is probably the best question. Just simply ask yourself, Lord, am I the problem? I say this all the time. It was some years ago in my marriage where I was complaining to God about Devin. Lady Devin. Complaining about Lady Devin and praying about Lady Devin, and maybe God will let me pray this prayer for about a week. And at the end, he said, you the problem, Andre. I know that ain't God talking to me. It can't be. See, here's the thing about sometimes the problem with some of us are right, but we're right in the wrong way. You could be right and wrong at the same time. You can be right, but have the wrong attitude. So even though you're right, it's not really right. And so in my life, and me and Devin's life, one of the problems is I was a preacher before we got married. And so sometimes I was preaching at her. And let me just let you know something, husbands and boyfriends. Women don't really like to be preached at. A lot of times when they're telling you their problems, they really don't want you to fix. They just want you to sit and listen. But the way I felt was, why should I listen to a whole thing if in the first sentence I done figured out your problem? I just want to go ahead and tell you, quit doing this and it'll be all right. I learned that sometimes women don't always want that. And because I was a preacher, that in order to get my point across, I'd raise my voice. Guess what I found out? Women don't really like it when you raise your voice. So God was pointing out to me that I was the problem. And before you blame everybody around you, stop and ask yourself one simple question. Lord, am I the problem? It'll save you a lot of embarrassment if you ask yourself that first. Lord, am I the problem? I get tickled because there's been times I've been driving and I'm mad at somebody else. What you honking at me for? And realize, oh, I was the problem. Oh, my bad. Even Lady Devin, she's a backseat driver. She's a passenger side driver. She could be out your car and she's going to try to help you drive. But guess what? She done got me out of some accidents that I would have had by her speaking up. And so I'm wondering, why are you fussing? Well, Andre, you're the problem. Sometimes you're the problem. So you need to ask yourself that. Let's look at some scripture here. This will help us. Jesus is talking.
He said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come.
The King James said, offenses will come, but woe to who they come from. You're going to have trouble in your life, but it's good if the majority of the trouble you go through doesn't come from you. Because that is avoidable. Some things are avoidable if you would just make some adjustments and ask yourself, am I the problem? And so you can alleviate some things if you would just check yourself. All right. There's the NWA. I don't know if some of y'all are too safe for NWA, but NWA used to sing a song and say, respect yourself. See, if you respect yourself, you will check yourself. And if you check yourself, you'll make sure that you're not causing the lion's share of your problems. Oh, man. I'm trying to move on, but let me stop. You know, these folk, we in Black History Month, these folk is racist. And every time I get a job, they fire me. Yeah, this racist folk. But part of your problem is you late everywhere you go. They may be racist, but you're not helping it because you're always doing stuff late. So how about you do your part before you blame everybody else for your trouble? And here's the problem. It's interesting that, yes, it's hard to have a job, but it's interesting that everybody keeping a job but you. That's right. Now, have you ever met people, they can find a job quick, but they can't keep a job. Muncie is just rough. Yeah, Muncie is rough, but there's a lot of folk that still have a job in Muncie. It might be you. It might be, you might be the reason you can't keep a man. Same thing. There's a lot of women that can get a man, but can't keep a man. Here's the thing. We all have levels of crazy, but you can't show all your crazy on date number one. That's part of your problem. You talk too much. You tell too much. Just, you might be the problem. And so if you are, just make some adjustments. All right, let's go to verse 2.
It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble.
Now here's the extra problem. We just showed you a video that talks about how people are struggling and you could be the help that another person needs. But if you are consistently a problem to yourself, then you're going to be a stumbling block for somebody else. And what happens is if you become the problem that God is trying to fix for somebody else, it's better to have a huge stone on your neck and you to be thrown into sea for you to cause trouble with some of these other little ones. Let me back up and let me put it in church context. You've been going to church all your life. And another thing, you own your 12th church and your 12th pastor. It may not be the church. It may not be the pastor. It possibly could be you. But some people are okay and God don't really bother them. But then there's other people, when they are uncomfortable, they try to make somebody else uncomfortable. Oh, let me preach a little bit. I don't really care for Pastor Andre and all them selfies and stuff he be doing on TikTok. I don't really like it. That's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. But the problem with you is you call somebody else and get them to not like it too. Now you got 4 or 5 folk in the church all having the same issue because you say, but you messy. Oh, Lord. What about messy Christians that always keep up stuff? It's one thing for you to be a problem. It's another thing for you to create problems for other people. Sometimes you just got to realize I'm not going to agree with everything that goes on. You don't always have to get a team to agree with you, because what happens is you create dissension. And what God says, I got to get you because now you're causing trouble. Yes. Uh-oh, Lord. In the church, as Lady Devin called them, pew mates. Sometimes your problem is your pew mate. Oh, Lord. Let me go on away from this for anybody think I'm talking about them. No, because let me. It's easier if I tell on myself.
I remember some years ago, I was sitting in church, and a preacher was preaching. He was a part of the ministry. He wasn't my father, but he was a part of the ministry. And that was part of my problem, because he wasn't my father. And so he was preaching. I really didn't want to hear him, because you know how it is when you come to church, you want to hear the pastor. So the pastor wasn't preaching. It was somebody else. And be honest, I had already tuned out, checked out, because it wasn't daddy preaching. It was somebody else preaching. He said something in the scripture, and he gave us a new take on the scripture. And I didn't really like it. And so I nudged my friend. I was like, and he looked at me like, what's the problem? In other words, he trying to listen, but I brought my little attitude, and I'm trying to mess up his listening. God checked me because I was causing trouble right in the church, or getting ready to. But my friend, my pewmate, didn't go along with it. So guess what you can do, pewmate? Sometimes you can say, shh. I'm not trying to listen to all that. And it was something really simple. He was adding a revelation that I didn't necessarily agree with. But could I have waited? Could I have waited? Or could I just took it to God? But here I am, because that's my friend. I just knew he going to go along with me. And he didn't. So let's move right along. Number two. Here's this. Lord, am I forgiving enough? Let's keep on reading verse 3. And this is the A clause of the verse. Look at what it says.
Pay attention to yourselves.
Pay attention to what everybody else is doing.
To yourselves.
So read it again.
Pay attention to yourselves.
These are four words that can save your life. Pay attention to yourself.
Yourself.
Let me say it this way, like I seen it on a TikTok years ago. Worry about yourself.
Amen.
So here's the thing. There's 12 months in a year. It takes you 6 months to worry about yourself. It takes you another 6 months to leave everybody else alone. So guess what? For 12 months, that's going to keep you out of a whole bunch of trouble.
Amen.
Pay attention to yourself. Now let's read what the rest of the verse says. Go ahead and put the verse up in its entirety. Read.
So watch yourself.
I changed the version.
If a believer sins, correct him. If he changes the way he thinks and acts, forgive him.
Oh, so now it talks about we actually can correct each other. Just like my friend corrected me and was like, this ain't the time and the place to be trying to figure out what the preacher's saying. Just listen. He correct me. But here's the thing. The scripture says that if he adjusts, will you forgive? Here's the problem with some of us. We are so sensitive and we carry our feelings so much that when something happens, it's very difficult for us to let it go. So we have to ask ourselves, number one, am I the problem? Number two, I'm not the problem. But am I forgiven enough? Do I let stuff go, or do I just hold on to grudges? Some of y'all change shoes quicker than you change grudges. You hold on to grudges, and some of that stuff is just not beneficial for you in the long run. So you got to ask yourself, because here's the thing. The more you hold on to it, is it poisoning you? So we're not minimizing what you've been through, but here's what we're asking ourselves. Is it affecting my fruit? Is it affecting the way I handle life? It possibly is, so I may have to just let it go. Let it go. Am I still bothered that somebody came in here and stole? Yes. But at the end of the day, I mean, we got to move on, right? I can't worry. We make some adjustments, but I can't be looking funny at all of y'all every Sunday. Every time y'all get close to me, I'm taking notes. Uh-huh. I see Donald looking at my bag. Uh-huh. I got to let some stuff go, especially if you see God blessing and working. Then sometimes you got to let some, so you got to ask yourself. The reason I say that is because some of y'all are forgiving too much. You're letting too much stuff go. So you want to be balanced. You don't want to be nobody's doormat. Being saved and being a Christian don't mean folk get to walk over you. So you got to check yourself to see what it is. So let's look at the next verse.
Even if he wrongs you seven times in one day and comes back to you seven times and says that he is sorry, forgive him.
Oh, Lord Jesus, this is kind of tough. But what Jesus is saying, you have to have inside of you a posture of forgiveness. You got to have the mindset that I'm not going to allow this to rob me. Because if a person keeps wronging me, they're the one who has the problem. So I'm not going to make it two problems by me becoming a problem as well. So I'm going to try to learn. So Jesus said, you got to learn how to forgive. All right. So that led the disciples to asking a question. And that's going to lead us to point number three. Here it is. Put it up. Or question number three. Lord, do I have enough faith? Here's the reason why. Because it takes faith to really forgive. Especially if things are happening to you on a consistent basis, it takes a little something to forgive. So we forgive by faith, especially when you're still hurt by it. You have to let things go and choose to let things go. And you need faith to do it. Here's the truth of the matter. If you can do all the stuff the Bible says do easily, then you are superhuman. You're supernatural. You don't even need to be coming to church if all this is really easy to you. For the regular common Christian, some of this stuff is hard and it's difficult. And it's going to take us exercising our faith. So look what happens in verse 5. Now remember, this is immediately after he told them to forgive. This is what they ask.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith.
So the apostles are basically saying, or the disciples, they were saying, you're talking some rough stuff, Lord. So increase our faith. Let's look at the next verse then.
And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed.
Stop right there and read that part again.
And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed.
Mustard! Oh, hold on. I had a Kendrick Lamar anointing fell on me real quick. Apologize. Read the verse.
And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you.
Ah, I like the King James, because the King James, some versions say mulberry tree. Others say sycamore tree. I like the King James because it says a sycamine tree, because I'm sick of mine, and you sick of yours. We got some stuff in our life that we are sick of. Yes. But this is what Jesus says. It's amazing how the conversation goes. He's telling them, you're going to have to forgive over and over and over. And they were like, Lord, increase our faith. And he didn't just drop faith in them. He told them a principle. He said, if you would treat faith like a mustard seed, and if you know anything about a mustard seed, it's one of the smallest seeds, but it produces one of the largest harvests. And when we say largest harvest, it is actually a very tall harvest. Some years ago, I showed you a picture of how a mustard plant looks once it is full grown. And this is the way your faith is. The faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen, so you can't see it. So it's very small. So this is all Jesus was saying, is just use the faith that you have. And when you use it, it increases it. So going back to the full understanding, Lord, am I the problem? Okay. If I'm not the problem, then I got to see, am I forgiving enough? Okay. And so if I'm not forgiving enough, maybe the problem is not that I'm a bad person. I don't have enough faith. And so if I don't have enough faith, I don't get more faith. I have to use the faith that I have. So by faith, Teresa, I forgive you. You got it. But I'm doing it by faith. And since I'm doing it by faith, I don't want to be around you right now. So here's the thing. Some of y'all jumping too quick. You trying to forgive folk and have relationship with folk at the same time. Forgiveness does not always mean fellowship. I can forgive you, and that doesn't mean we're always going to be back like we were. Because even though I forgave you, I don't trust you. So I'm learning by faith what I'm going to do. And this is what I ask myself a lot. When I'm really, really, really mad at someone, I ask myself, if they died, would I cry? And I don't mean necessarily shed a tear because I'm not really a crier. But I'm saying, am I so mad that I'm wishing them harm? And if I am, I got to dial it back some. And let me tell you, sometimes the answer, I know I'm a pastor, but sometimes the answer is not the right answer. Die on. Shoot. Forget them. Nah. You can't really have that in your heart, Andre, and be what you need to be. Doesn't mean I'm going to be back in fellowship with them, but when you are wishing ill will. Now, last week we talked about wanting God to punish people and praying the correct prayer. That's different than you just having ill will. Here's the problem. When we get hurt deeply, here's the problem. Hurt people want to hurt people. And you got to ask yourself, is the fruit that I'm producing, am I a hurting person and I'm hurting other people? Are you taking stuff out on folk that you never met? The cashier at the store, you taking it out on them, what your husband did. You taking stuff out on the kids, what the boss did. You're going to have to evaluate yourself, because what happens is you got a bumper sticker that got a cross on it. And what would Jesus do? But when you function with people, you're not really that pleasant. And you no longer are a good witness, because people want to get away from you. And you got a John 3:16 shirt on, but you're real ugly and you're real evil. But you're hurt. You're also really hurt. So sometimes checking yourself will let you know, because this is what happens to many of us. We don't really know how hurt we are, because we're so used to getting hurt and getting back up. We think we're okay, but sometimes you're wearing it on your face. Sometimes you're wearing it on your attitude. You ever met someone who always had their hair done? And then all of a sudden they got a season where they're not getting their hair done. What's going on? Well, I'm just growing my hair out. They hurt. Something's going on the inside. This ain't who they really are. It's changing. If you see me without a shaven head, I'm hurt. Because I look like George Jefferson if I start growing this out. Something's going on. Check on your brother. Check on. So here's the thing. Sometimes you have to evaluate. I'm eating to eat. I'm not even hungry. I'm just eating. I left McDonald's and went to Burger King. What am I doing? I'm hurt, and I'm trying to hide the hurt with hamburgers. And then when I have extra pounds and people tell me I'm gaining weight, then I get mad at them. But the truth of the matter is I'm hurt, and I never stopped to check myself. I never stopped to check on the trauma that I'm going through. I never stopped to realize I haven't been the same person for the last 5 years. I've been this face. I've been that face. I've been that face. I don't know who I am because I haven't taken the time to check myself. Let me pause and say this. Sometimes that means going to therapy. Don't mean just coming to church and just coming to the altar. Some of your stuff is not going to be prayed away and preached away. Some of your stuff needs to be counseled away. Amen. And let me tell you this. I am not a licensed therapist, so I can't be your only counselor. Amen. If you're deeply hurt, talk to somebody. Go see somebody. Talk it out, because you are checking yourself. It doesn't make you a weak person. It makes you a healthy person, because you're doing something about it. I didn't mean to dig in too much on this, but I'm going to keep digging in here. Those of us who have been in relationships, been in poor relationships, been suffering in marriages that were not healthy for a long time, that is a lot of built up hurt
on the inside. You need some time to unpack some of that stuff. You need to ask yourself, why do I have a chip on my shoulder? Why am I barking at everybody? Why am I always raising my voice? And as the Lord was dealing with me about raising my voice and my own anger issues in my home, I found out that a weak man has to raise his voice to get his point across all the time. Sometimes it's important to raise your voice. Kids will make you raise your voice. But if you're raising your voice all the time, sometimes it's you. And sometimes your kids will let you know it's you without letting you know it's you. Daddy, I want to stay gone for a few days. I want to go to my friend's house. I thought you didn't like the friend. They saying I want to get away from you because you it's too much tension here. And some of us, I'm not saying we're not saved. We're saved, but we got tension. Saved, but we're hurt. Saved, but we got attitudes. Saved, but things are going on in our life. And here's the thing, it's okay to talk about it. When things first happen, you don't always want to talk about it. You don't always want to discuss it. But over a period of time, sometimes you need to discuss it to let it out. Let me even share something that's happened in my family some years ago. But originally, it was not something that I necessarily wanted to hear, and it took a while to process. It's a little different now and didn't really talk about it, but if you don't talk about stuff, it will affect you. And we're coming in a day and age, because of technology, you're going to be finding out some stuff you're going to need to process through. So one of my cousins' son had a child. And he decided to get on to Ancestry.com. And so Ancestry.com, where they check your DNA. And so my cousin decided to join. And then when my cousin joined, he got a cousin from Muncie that he didn't know he was cousins with. And so he calls me and says, hey, I want you to do this DNA test. I'm having my mama do this DNA test. And to make a long story short, we found out we may not be Mitchells at all. We got family we didn't know we had. And here's the thing. Back in the day, they kept a lot of stuff under the rug. Yes. But we in a day where a whole bunch of stuff is coming out. Yes. And some of the stuff that comes out, it can rock you because it changes everything that you knew. And stop thinking you're so super Christian that you don't need a process through some of that. In our case, it's actually been kind of beautiful. But now I got folks saying, hey, cousin, I got to remember, I don't really know if you're my cousin or not. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Process. When folk die and you find out your uncle that you looked up to had a special friend in Mississippi. And some kids and some special, and you start putting stuff together, and the kids from Mississippi show up and they look just like you. You got the same nose, the same lips. You got to start processing some of that stuff. You ain't so saved that things don't affect you. You're human. And so when it begins to alter your personality and your actions, you got to stop and just check yourself. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just say that. We say it's okay.
It's okay.
As we, one of the things, because we believe in God so much, many times we want to put on a God face. Nothing wrong with that. But there's also nothing wrong with just coming and telling people that you're broken. You don't tell everybody. You tell the right people. Yeah, I was amen and hallelujah in church. But Lady Devin, let me tell you, this is what I'm really going through, and pray. You know, some of y'all are so lovely and so kind. You say to yourself, I don't want to burden Lady Devin and Pastor Andre with my stuff. Guess what? If you don't do it, it's folk who go to other churches who are reaching out to us. So you might as well get in the line. Stop trying to hide everything. Amen. It's okay. And then this is what you ask God to do. Lord, increase my faith. I don't know how we're going to come out of this. I don't know how we're going to go through this. Some of y'all have diagnoses that you don't want to tell anybody. You're dealing with it by yourself. And I'm not saying that you have to tell everybody. But you need to talk to God and say, God, I need you to increase my faith. Yes. Sometimes by the time you tell the church about it, it's so far gone. We're trying to rush and pray about it, and you've been holding on to it about 4 or 5 years. That's your prerogative. You can do what you want, but you got to talk to God, because this is not a magic wand. This is real life, and you're going to have to check yourself so you don't wreck yourself. All right, let's go here. Number 4. Lord, am I looking in the right place? Looking for love in all the wrong places. So I'm checking myself, but I'm looking in the wrong places. Sometimes the cancer that is showing up, or the tumor that is showing up, is really not the cancer or the tumor. It's the bitterness. I heard Sister Ruthie talking about the bitterness earlier as she prayed. So sometimes you're looking at the wrong place. So God, am I even looking in the right place? So let's continue to go. Verse 20.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
Don't really come looking. Verse 21.
Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
This is where I need to be looking from within. Last year, around this time, we taught a pathway series. And one of the sermons was the path within. So as you're checking inside. Just gauge your own temperature. What's going on inside of me? Ask these questions. Sometimes you may not be able to go to a therapist, but you can ask yourself therapist questions. How do I feel about this? How do I feel about this information? How do I feel about this election? How do I feel about this and this and that? How do I feel about my cousin's sexuality? How do I feel? Stop acting like you know. Look within. Take some time. How do I feel? What does this look like? How shall I move forward? Ask those questions. And guess what? That's part of your prayer time. You're praying to God and you're saying, God, what's going on? David said this way. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way within me. And then lead me in the path everlasting. I'm looking within. And many times right inside is where the problem is. And it can be adjusted. Let's go to verses 22 through 24.
And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it.
Next verse. Keep going.
They will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away, and do not run after them.
Well, there's a prophet in town. Thank God for the prophet. There's a bishop in town. Thank God for the bishop. Bishop T.D. Dakes is coming to True Vine. Great. I want to go see him, but that's not going to alter everything for me. I'm not looking for my joy to come from out there, from some prophet and from some revelation or from some politician or from some new boyfriend or some new girlfriend. I'm looking within. Read the next verse.
For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day.
When it's the day of the Lord to do what the Lord is going to do, you ain't got to ask no questions. All right. You ain't got to guess. You going to know. If you with God and you locked into God, you always going to know what he's doing when he's doing it.
Yeah.
So look for it within, inside of yourself, in God. So here's what you do. You put God in. We accept him into our life, and then we look in. So here's another thing I'm saying. You look inside to see if you have any problems. And when you have problems, you don't look outside to fix the problems. You look inside to fix the problems, because the one who's inside is going to help you fix the problem. Well, Pastor Andre, you just told me I need to go to therapy. But before you go to therapy, you pray to the one within to make sure you end up at the right therapist. You don't just jump and do. You look within. God, are you telling me to go? Where are you telling me to go? It builds your prayer life. It builds your relationship because you are working from the inside out to get your deliverance. Every other surgeon has to work from the outside in. God is the only surgeon that works from the inside out to change your life. So stop looking in all the wrong places and start looking within and remember this and remind yourself all these times I've been coming to Deliverance Temple and I've been listening to these sermons, stuff has been deposited inside of me. And so when I run into trouble and I run into stuff and DNA shows some stuff that I didn't know it was going to show, I can look within and get the help that I need. And here's the thing, we have kindred spirits. When I look within, it tells me who I need to connect with. I can look at you and tell if you're a safe space. When I marry people, I say this in their vows, I add, and allow me to be a safe place for you to land. Thank God that there's some Deliverance Temple members that's a safe place for me to land. That's not going to allow me to bump my head. I'm looking within, and within something happens and it draws me to somebody else or leads me to someone else. Let me give you a quick example before I move on. This happened and it was so powerful to me. So there was a man that I've never met, but he called me when my father passed and he let me know that he had met my mother and my father when he was at Ball State. And my father would periodically check on him and keep him encouraged. And he told me that he just wanted to reach out to me and keep in contact with me to let me know how much my dad meant to him. And I heard all kinds of those things, that my dad was amazing and all the people that he reached outside of this church. So every Father's Day, this man will leave me a text, tell me happy Father's Day, and remind me about the legacy. It's a beautiful thing. So I got a call from him in January of this year. He normally does not text or call me in January, and he left me a message. But I was so busy that I didn't get the message. I could see that there was a message, and I went to do something, and I had totally forgot. I'm one of those people, I will text you and forget to hit send and think that I didn't text you. I text Will something, and it was 24 hours later when I realized I never hit send. And so I'm doing so much, so sometimes my mind is other places. And so the Sunday night that we got the stuff stolen from us, that Sunday night when I got to work, I had a call from someone else and they left me a voicemail. And so I listened to that voicemail and then I seen this other voicemail for Brother Howard. And I was like, oh, I forgot. I never listened to that. And so I listened to it. And Brother Howard is saying, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I pulled up my phone and your name was up there and just popped up. You know, since I'm Andre, I'm at the top of the list for most people's contacts. He said he put his phone down. The next day, name come up again. The third day, the name come up again. He said, I don't know what this means, but God, you must want me to call him. And so I'm calling you, Brother Andre, just to tell you that I feel like the Lord is saying, be encouraged. Now here's the thing. When he sent it, I wasn't going through nothing. When he sent it, nothing was happening. So I got busy and didn't listen to it. But the very day that we got robbed, there was a voicemail waiting on me that God says, no matter what you're going through, be encouraged. See, that's why we can look from within, because God got us connected. When you got the right stuff on the inside, you're connected. He didn't know why he was calling me, but God knew why he was calling me. I don't know why I missed the call, but God knew why I missed the call. I don't know why I forgot to listen to the voicemail, but God knew why I forgot to listen to the voicemail, because he's connecting all things together. And like I told you earlier, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And it's all working from the inside out. All right. Last one, number five. Here we go. Lord, am I aware enough? Am I aware? Brother Howard was aware that God was possibly speaking and followed the Lord. Let's change it. Put it back up. I like this too. But it, Lord, am I alert enough? So am I aware or am I alert? Let's look at Luke 17, 26.
And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man.
Verse 27.
They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all.
Noah kept telling them the flood was coming. They didn't care. They was too concerned about their Super Bowl party. Yeah. Let's keep on going. Verse 28.
It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating. They were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building.
29.
But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
In other words, they were right up to danger and didn't know it. They were going on about their business, just going on. Listen, as people of God, we have to be more aware than that.
Amen.
We got to be more alert than that. Yes. We got to know when a word from God is a word from God.
Yes.
Now, in Noah's case, there had never been rain from the sky. There had only been dew from the ground. So he sounded crazy that he's building a boat for something that never came. And they were like, man, this fool is crazy. So they kept doing what they was doing. But he was not crazy. You got to know when God is speaking to you. And you got to be aware enough and alert enough. And if you are in 2025 and you see planes falling out the sky, that ought to wake you up that this ain't just easy street. You need to be locked into the God within. You need to wake up. Am I aware enough? Are there stuff going on underneath me? Is it possible that my child that I'm paying for the mortgage, and while he's locked up in the room, he's deciding that he's going to go shoot up a school? Am I aware enough to what's going on? Why are you buying bullets? Why are you looking up guns on the internet? Stop being so dull and lulled to sleep. Wake up and figure out what is going on. God, do I know what is going on? I don't want to mess up in this season. I don't want to be a fool in this season. I don't want to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. If you tell me to get out the club, I'm coming out the club. If you tell me to leave the restaurant, I'm leaving. If you tell me don't get on the plane, I'm not getting on the plane. I need to know what is going on because it's too close and it's too rough to be playing around. And for our kids and our grandkids, we got to be praying. I don't care about the ones that have lost. We got to still plead the blood. We got to still believe God. We got to still pull people to the side. We got to still talk to them because we have to be aware. Some people are suffering in silence. And if you are aware, you can pick up on it. I wouldn't even be here. And you wouldn't even be here if the founder of our church, his wife, did not follow God. The day my father got saved and he felt the deliverance of God as he was getting up and walking from the altar, the devil told him all the reasons why he could not be saved walking out the door. So he put on a fake smile and he started smiling and shaking people's hands, and they were telling him they were glad he was delivered and he got saved. But in his head, he was already defeated as he was walking out the door. But Mother Clark said the Lord spoke to her and told her to tell him whatever you are thinking about. God said he's going to work it all out. But she did not want to say it because he looked so happy. She didn't want to be a Debbie Downer, but God was giving her a word from the Lord. And she spoke it to my dad and he held on to that and then eventually became the pastor and pastored church to me. One woman followed God and it changed the course of history. I want to know, will you change the course of history by being alert enough to say what thus says the Lord? Oh, I can't say it. I'm just the pastor's wife. No, the devil is a lie. You everything God says you can be. Speak what needs to be spoken.
Amen.
Verse 30.
I'll read it. This is the last verse. It says this: it will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Every day he is being revealed, and our full name is Deliverance Temple, the revelation of Jesus Christ incorporated. We are revealing Jesus. And so since Jesus is being revealed, don't you go to sleep. This is the wrong time to go to sleep.
Amen.
I don't want y'all to have the movie spirit. What's the movie spirit? You buy your popcorn, you buy your ticket, you get in there in the movie, and you fall asleep right in the middle of the movie. Don't know what's going on. You wake up and the credits are rolling. Well, this is not the time to have the movie sleep spirit. You need to stay awake and watch what God is doing. So here's the conclusion. Two takeaways. Here it is. No one knows you like you. So no one can check you like you. Here's another one. Checkups doesn't mean something is wrong, but they can catch things before they get wrong.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. Checkups don't mean something is wrong, but they can catch things before they go wrong. And here's the confession. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you for helping me preach this morning. Come on, let's pull that confession up. Say this after me. I am willing
to
examine myself. Because God,
you've done so much for me
that it's only right for me
to make sure
I am becoming all you want me to be. Let's say the last part again. All you want me to be. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Let's do something different. Just if there's somebody next to you, just grab their hand. I know we're still in the sick and a flu season, so you ain't got to do a bunch of rubbing. Just grab the hand, squeeze that hand, and we're going to pray together. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we receive this as a checkup for our life. Our check engine light is on, and we're doing something about it. We're not just going to drive the vehicle into the ground, but we're doing something about it. And God, you let us be everything you want us to be. And I believe in these last and evil days, you're raising up Deliverance Temple to be a safe house that will be a beacon light of hope that will draw the people in. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.